Welcome to the Body Grievers Club. Hi, my friends. I'm Bree.
And I'm Jana.
And we want to sit in the grief and the suck of your body image with you.
But we also want to show you that even in the suck, you can still live a great life in the body that you have right now.
And that no matter how big and how difficult your body grief feels,
you are not alone.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Body Grievers Club. I am doing a solo episode tonight, but I'm also going live. So tonight we are going to be talking all things dating with the intersection of body image. Now, maybe it's not dating. Maybe we are also going to talk about other things that are like dating. Maybe we'll talk about intimacy. Maybe we'll talk about all the good stuff that comes up with body image. And before we hang up this live tonight, before we end this episode of the podcast, I'm going to give you a technique that you can walk away with and implement immediately to explore what's coming up for you in your belief systems and how we can begin to shift. So I want to talk a little bit about my own personal story in exploring myself through the lens of body image and dating. When I realized that I was never going to exist in the dream body that I thought I was promised, the grief that came up for me was the fear that the body I exist in would be a barrier for people loving me. And let me get even more specific. It wasn't just that I didn't think that people would love me. It was that I believed that men wouldn't love me, that my body would never be seen as desirable to the opposite sex, which meant I was destined to a life of singleness. And so when I break down, there's like four different categories of folks that I'll put them into when it comes to dating or, you know, sexuality and intimacy and, you know, fat love. I put you into four categories. And so I would say the first category are those that are coupled and they have very supportive partners when it comes to their body image. Then there are people who are coupled that their partner is not supportive and in fact becomes a hurdle to them accepting their here and now body. Then we have folks that are single who it comes down to not feeling worthy of love and being desired. And then there are those that are single and they're unmotivated to date. And I would say right now that's probably the camp that I live in. If that is you, this is probably not going to be the episode for you. The episode for you is going to be when I release the episode I did with dating coach Lily Womble, or Date Brazen, and we talk all about, you know, advocating for yourself. I think tonight's conversation is really going to be geared towards the person who is grieving, whether it be your partner or your singleness, that there is this fear, this innate fear of my partner's not going to love my body, or I don't find my own body attractive, therefore no one else will. And if this is you, I want to acknowledge that your fear is very much rooted in the patriarchy and in racism, but in the way that society has sort of been designed, right? We grew up as 90s babies, those of us who, like, we saw the magazine covers and we did all the, you know, teen 17 tests. Like, we knew what was in and what was out. And I would say the year this is being recorded in 2023, we are miles away from where we started. And still, there are places that I think we get hooked when it comes to still believing the lie that our body isn't good enough for, or if. So if I were to ask you this question of, like, if my body were different, then what? Like, if I existed in a smaller body, then what would that fill in the blank be? Would it be that I would feel more confident when it comes to going on dates or asking for what I need in the bedroom or asking of my partner what makes me feel comfortable? If my body were different, I would feel more confident because I would be getting compliments or receiving compliments about my body. There is a detachment from reality that what is happening is not your fault, right? There's this self-blame narrative that comes up of I should have fixed this. Now, this is a common theme that we'll probably go over time and time again. This is not a concept that is one and done, right? This is nuanced, and there's trauma and there's lived experience, and there's so much wrapped up in it. And as somebody who has experienced blatant fat phobia because of the dating expectation in the world, I'm not here to gaslight you. I'm not here to tell you that your fears aren't true. And as somebody who has experienced the fat phobia myself, I can validate that what you are experiencing is true. And what we'll talk about at the end of our time together are some skills and things that you can do to help challenge this thought. But what I want to start with is my four-part framework. We're only going to get to three of those parts today, and then I'll invite you into the fourth part later. But if you're familiar with my grief framework, the first thing that I encourage folks to do is we have to build awareness around these thoughts. This would be the part that I never said out loud. Like, I'm looking at my journal from 2015. And some of the anxieties and fears that I experienced or that I believed, I wrote down on this paper. And it was the part I was afraid to say out loud. So I'll give you an example. A fear that I held in 2015, I will never be thin. And we could talk about, you know, what to do with a thought like that, but I'll give you another one. No man will ever love me because of my body. This was a very real fear that kept coming up for me. And it was part of what made it difficult to accept that I couldn't change my body. Another thing I wrote down is I will be single for the rest of my life. And so we have this very real fear that is supported by very real fat phobia that exists. And, I could talk about a couple of things, just off the top of my head. I've been on the dating apps, and one time somebody actually swiped just to tell me about my body, and they were cruel. They were like, two words for you, diet and exercise. And I remember feeling so accosted by that. I felt so much shame because of this jerkwad, no better word to describe it, from this really insecure person who intentionally swiped right just to shame me for my body. But I felt violated. I felt angry that this could happen to me and that this was allowed to happen to me. I have another example of, you know, fat phobia with dating. I know that there are family members of mine who are convinced, like, that I don't want a partner because of my body size. Like, that there's a thought of, like, well, how are you going to find somebody if you exist in a larger body? There was an example of something like that happening with a person I babysat for. I had a mutual friend. We used to babysit for this family. And she said something to my friend of, like, oh, you know, like, I bet if Brianna just lost some weight, you know, she'd find a boyfriend. So these beliefs are out there. These beliefs exist. And so if this is you, if you are somebody who is feeling that shame, that concern, that fear, that anxiety is telling you, you're going to be single for the rest of your life, your body is undesirable to the person that you, you're attracted to, or to your partner, I want to first validate, but I want to acknowledge over everything that that thought exists. That's the first part of grief. The second part of grief, after we build awareness, is active unlearning. So it's not just enough to acknowledge the thought, but we have to figure out, how do we undo this belief system? How do we, as individuals coming into something that is already so blatantly fat phobic, and that there are, you know, that there will be people who don't find our bodies attractive, how does the intersection of our beliefs coincide with that? So let me give you an example. The beliefs that I'm looking at right now, right? Like, so the one I had written down in my journal in 2015, I wrote, I will never be thin. That wasn't actually the catalyst, right? For me, the fear was, if I am not thin, then what? There was something deeper than just that initial fear of, okay, well, if I'm not smaller, if my body doesn't get smaller, what's the story I'm telling myself? I can take another one here, right? No man will ever love me because of my body. First, that's a big generalization. That is a generalization of specifically men, of like, you know, like, there is no way any man will be attracted to a, you know, a larger person's body. And I've also experienced the opposite of the rejection. I've also experienced the fetish, which that's another episode for another time. But so with that thought, there's this fear of, what if no one will love me because of my body? The story I'm telling myself, what is the belief that is underlying, that is motivating this fear? And what I think it came down to was the fear of not feeling desirable, of, if I'm not desirable, then it means I'm going to be alone, or I'm going to be lonely. And as a counselor, as a mental health counselor who has worked with many a couple of my life in my lifetime, what I can tell you is that there are married people who feel lonely, and there are single people who don't. And so if your hope is that your body will be the thing that secures your not loneliness, all I can tell you is that being in a relationship doesn't guarantee that you won't feel lonely. And so when that loneliness comes up, when that feeling arises, what skills and tools do you have to be able to maneuver through that? For me, whenever I was feeling that loneliness, that yearning for a partner, I leaned into it. And rather than play this tape, this narrative that it's because of my body that somebody isn't attracted to me and that's why I'm alone, of, I actually had the reframe right next to it, is, I am already deeply loved by those in my life and I am never alone. I want to hold that as privilege. I know that not everybody has somebody in their life that they can feel supports them and is for them. What I think part of the problem that we do is we make these all or nothings. We make these, well, if I exist in a larger body, then no one will be attracted to me. If I exist in a smaller body, I'm guaranteed love and approval. And I've seen a lot of great posts, you know, over the last couple of days in getting ready for Valentine's Day, talking about, how do we maneuver through this? And there's a ton of resources out there. But what I'm going to ask you is, in that second, like, phase of grief, of identifying what you need to unlearn and relearn, ask yourself this: do I need to know someone's body size to secure love? Like, does that, is that how it works for you? Do you love and not love people based off their body size? And I can already hear it being people being like, yeah, but Brie, it's different. And while I will hold space that, yes, there might be some people who do not love you or find you attractive because of your body size, It's not everyone. Yes, somebody in the comments is saying, I never thought about the absolutism implied in those frameworks. Exactly. It's we're creating these all or nothing thoughts, and it doesn't leave any room for nuance. Another question I might ask is, do I know anybody who exists in a larger body who has love? Let's look at our Lord and Savior Lizzo, right? Who it has always come from a position of loving herself and loving her body and being confident. And now she has this boo and she looks happy, but she loved herself first. She didn't wait for a man to love her. And so when that narrative, when that fear comes up of, well, he can't possibly really love her, like something's wrong with him. Maybe that's not the whole story, right? Maybe our perception is the one that's thwarted. Yes, because of the cult. Yes, because of diet culture and because of the, you know, westernization of beauty. But to know that I know people who exist in different sized bodies and they have found partners and they have found love, that it does happen. And so, again, thinking of that framework of grief, we have the first phase, which is the building awareness, bringing about awareness. We can't change a tape until we know what's playing. Then it is that unlearning and relearning, and it's really massaging out what we know to be true versus what we are experiencing and feeling. And it's not just like a blanket statement of like, okay, so if my belief was I'll never be thin, of like, you will one day be thin, but can I acknowledge that the fear of never being thin is scary and it might not be telling me a true story? That the fear that no one will find my body attractive, it is valid that there will be people who don't find my body attractive, but not every person will not find my body attractive. And I want to put just like a little baby caveat in here. If you are a person who exists in a larger body and you don't like the way your own body looks and you don't like how other people in your body, how they look, there's room for exploration of what internalized messages are still present. Because our thoughts and our beliefs can change. We have scientific evidence that that can happen. And so rather than blaming the fault on the body, can we blame the fault on the belief system? And so we have our building awareness, unlearning and relearning, and then there's this beauty of time, which let's make no mistake, time doesn't heal anything. You know, that old adage that like time heals all wounds, that's bullshit. Time doesn't have the ability to heal anything, but it allows the wound to become more familiar. And I have evidence of this right here. That on February 17th, 2015, I feared that I was never going to be thin, that no man was ever going to love me because of my body, and that I was going to be single for the rest of my life. And as I sit before you today in 2023, those fears don't exist anymore. And I'm still single, but I no longer believe that my body is the barrier from being or experiencing love. That is the power of neuroplasticity, is our thoughts and beliefs can change. And so the activity I want to leave you with is I want us to practice this concept of beginning to rewire our thoughts. And so I want you to take a piece of paper and I want you to write down the fears and anxieties that you have about dating in your current body or about being with your partner in your current body. And I want you to rate those thoughts on a scale of 1 to 7. 7 being, I believe this to be true, like this is the most true thing. Or 1, I don't believe this at all. And I want you to begin to assess what are the beliefs that you have and how true do they feel for you? We can acknowledge that these thoughts exist. And on a scale of 1 to 7, how true does it feel for us? Because what I want us to do in the contrast If you were to take this piece of paper and you have your fears and your anxiety on the left side, on the right side, I want you to write what you're responsible for. What is your responsibility when it comes to changing your body size, right? I wrote on this paper, I will never be thin. And one on the other side, I wrote, it is my responsibility to take care of my body, to sleep and to exercise. Now, I wouldn't say that to myself now. If I were to say something now, I might say, my inability to control my body size doesn't say anything about my character. And then what I want you to do is I want you to see if they match up. Do you believe the fear or the anxiety? Does it match the reframe? Because if you believe the fear more than the reframe, you're going to continue to go down that groove towards that fear. So again, if you're doing this activity, you're going to take a piece of paper, left hand, you're going to write your fears, your anxieties. You're going to rate it from 1 to 7. On the right hand side, you're going to write, what are you responsible for? What is the reframe that you can create that matches the intensity of the fear and the anxiety? And with that, I want to invite you into the fourth stage of grief, which I call in community. So if you were to take my framework of grief is building awareness, active unlearning and relearning over time, and in community. And here's why the community piece matters. As human beings, I think that we have the ability to hold compassion for others in a greater capacity we can hold from ourselves. I believe that when I can see my pain reflected in you, it causes me to pause and say, I would never say this to you, so why am I allowing this narrative to take hold for me? Why do I believe this for me? And I think there's something to that. I think that when a thought is allowed to exist in our brain, we can create and attach all of these stories that aren't true. And we hold on to it, and we harbor it. But when we can see it reflected in someone else, when someone else has that same fear, I can dispel it for you. And this is the difference between sitting in the suck and standing in the hope. When I am standing in the hope, it is standing in my most truthful self. It is standing in a compassionate response that seems unlikely for me to say to myself. I want to invite you into community. I am going to be hosting a Q&A. If you felt like you didn't get, like you got a taste tonight of something that you can chew on, but you're looking for a little bit more, I want to invite you. I'm going to be hosting a drop-in masterclass. It's going to be a Q&A call all about the intersections of fat, love, dating, sex, intimacy, the questions you're afraid to ask out loud, wanting to be surrounded by community of people who get it, who aren't going to shame you, who aren't going to think less of you, who've probably thought it yourself. I want you to join us for our drop-in next Thursday, February 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There will be a replay if you are not able to make it live. The best part about it is Kajabi is now doing this new thing that is equity pricing, meaning you get to pay what you want. We are asking for a $47 donation. If you cannot afford $47, the equity pricing is $27. That's the least you can pay to join us for an hour of live, deep Q&A content. Again, there will be a replay and a recording. So, and then we also have a pay it forward. If you have the means, if you are able to contribute, we will then consider those resources for our next masterclass to be able to continue to provide resources for folks who need that equity pricing. So if you want to join me and my community for a live deep dive into this topic, we want to invite you next week. I also want you to keep your eyes peeled over the next 2 weeks. We have something amazing underway. I'm so excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's interactive and it is for everybody. So we've been dropping hints along the way, and I will be dropping a hint in my stories later today when I share this. So gathering those clues for the scavenger hunt to figure out what is up in our world, what we're doing. If you are coming out of this live, if you're coming off this podcast episode, if you are still feeling the suck of the intersection of body image when it comes to your romantic life, I just want you to know that that's okay. That thoughts are not, they're just not malleable like, you know, a piece of paper. If I were to take a piece of paper, I can crumple it and I can change the shape quickly. I want you to think of your thoughts more of like water. If your thoughts right now are like ice, it's gonna take time for those thoughts to melt. It will happen in the right environment. It will happen when you continue to massage out and, you know, sit with and dig, and you dig into your thoughts, that the thoughts that you're currently experiencing are, they are changeable. It just might take longer than you'd like it to. And if that's you, we can sit in the suck a little bit longer around those topics. So with that, I'm gonna go, but I wanna thank you for joining me tonight. Thank you for making space for this conversation. And for those of you who have made it to the end of this live or this podcast episode, yeah, mad props to you. So with that, if you have any other questions, feel free to comment on this live, on this podcast episode, and we will continue to answer your questions all about romantic life, body image, and all that good stuff. I hope to see you inside of the Q&A. And if not, I look forward to February 20th when our scavenger hunt ends and our surprise begins. So with that, thanks for joining me tonight. So much love. Take care. Friend, thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Body Grievers Club. Like all of your other podcasting friends, we would ask that you like, share, subscribe, and give this episode to someone who you think needs to hear it.
We know that grief is tough, but we hope that this podcast helps you feel less alone. To learn more about body grief, check out our Instagram page at the Body Grievers Club.
And to learn how you can work with us today, be sure to check out the link in our show notes for the most up-to-date information. At the time of this recording, it is summer of 2023, we are preparing to launch our brand new program called the Body Image Vault. This program is going to contain jam-packed resources designed to help you expedite your understanding from how to move from body grief into body acceptance. So be sure to get on the wait list to get all of the details.
And remember, friends, no matter how big your body grief is, you're never alone when you're part of the Body Grievers Club.